This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Aleph, Mishnah Daled. The previous Mishnah we discussed is Zav, which is a man who has a certain type of bodily emission that's similar to a seminal emission. It's a little bit different. The Torah says that if that happens at least twice, then the man becomes a Tameh as a Zav. And a man who is a Zav is a quite a potent source of Tumah. He is, in a sense, an Aviyavet Tumah, in that if he, let's say, lies on something that's meant to be lied on, for example, a mattress, and that mattress itself becomes an avatama. It itself has the capacity to be a metama, people, or utensils. So the Zav is pretty high up there in the tuma source hierarchy. But our Mishnah says, Lamala min hazav, even greater potent source of tuma than the Zav, is Zava, is the Zav's female counterpart, the Zava, which is a woman who has menstruated during the 11 days following her Nida days, meaning if she has your normal menstruation, that begins the 7 Nida days, the end of which she can go in the mikvah to purify herself. But if over the course of 11 days following the Nida days, the so-called Ziva days, she experiences a further menstrual event, she then becomes a Zava. The Zava has all of the stringent qualities of the Zav, and one stringent quality over the Zav, in that Shehi Metama Es Baala. Torah says that she transmits Tuma to a man who has relations with her to the point that that man becomes an Ava Tuma. In the same way that if a Zava or Nidar Zav, if any of those people lie on something, sin on something, that's meant for that purpose, and that thing becomes an Ava Tuma, it itself can be Metama other utensils. So it is of a man who has relations with the Zava, he becomes Tameh as an Avatoma. There is no equivalent in the case of a man who is Tameh as a Zav. There's no halacha that says that a woman who has relations with him becomes an Avatoma. She becomes a Rishon Latoma because she came into contact with the person who is an Avatoma. But there's no halacha there that says that she becomes an Avatoma. So in this way, the Zav is a more potent source of Tuma than the Zav. The Mishnah continues, Lamala min hazava, even more potent source of Tumma than the Zava, is the Mitzara. It is a person who contracted halachic tsaras. We discussed the Mishnah Aleph, how that happens. A patch of tsaras sprouts, he goes to the Kohen. The Kohen confirms, yes, it's tsaras. At that point, the Mitzara becomes a source of Tumma on a very high level. It is even more potent source of Tumma than the Zava, Then in addition to the capacity to transmit Tumma in all the ways the Zav and Zava can, Shehu Mutame Bibia. The Mitzara can also transmit Tumma merely by entering a house, meaning if he properly enters the hallway and he has to remain there for a moment, but once he properly enters a house, any people or utensils in that house become Tameh. As the Pasuk in Tezria states, Mechutz Lamachane Moshavo, when a person is diagnosed as a Mitzara, he must remain outside of the camp. So Chazal derived from this that wherever the Mitzara does dwell, that's a place of Tumah. Anybody who enters the same dwelling goes under the same halachic ohel. So that could be literal, a roof of a building, or even a canopy formed by a tree. If somebody joins the Mitzara there, he becomes Tumah. Even if he did not directly touch the Mitzara or bear the Mitzara's weight, by virtue of being under the same ohel, under the same halachic covering as a Mitzara, that person or that utensil would become Tameh. On the level of Rishon LeTumah, the Mishnah continues and says, Lamala mina Mitzara, an even more potent source of Tumah than the Mitzara is Etzem Kisaora, is even a small piece of bone from a human corpse, even if it's as small as a barley grain, that is the minimum amount that would generate this Tumah. Halacha is Shehu Mitame Tumah Shiva. A person contracted Tumah from this bone fragment of a human corpse through either Mag or Masa, touched it directly or bore its weight, then he becomes Tameh not just for a day, like someone who becomes Tameh from a Mitzara, was merely a Tumas Rishon. Rather, that person would be considered Tameh Mace. He's Tameh from a Mace and therefore remains Tameh for 7 days. Now, the Mishnah doesn't mean that in every respect a bone fragment from a human corpse is more potent than a Mitzara. For whereas the Mitzara can be mitame even by just being under the same halachic covering as the person or vessel. That's not true of a small bone fragment of a mace. But the Mishnah's point is that in regards to the length of the tumah period that results from a contact with the source, the bone fragment is more stringent. But once again, the person or vessel becomes tame from that remains tame for 7 days, whereas somebody becomes tame from mitzara is only tame for 1 day. Now, once the mitzara's tzaras goes away, and he begins the purification process, which takes a week, as we learned, in that situation, the mitzara is being made sifro, he's counting his days to become pure, his potency of tumah decreases, and thus, as we learned in Mishnah Aleph, he would only be mitame through maga, only through direct touch. The Mishnah concludes, chamor mikulam, the most stringent of all of them. All the sources of tumah that we've discussed thus far, the most potent source of tumah of them all is hames, is a complete human corpse, or at least a very significant portion of a human corpse, shehu metame ba'ohel. The mace is metame through ohel. So on the very basic level, this refers to where you have people or vessels under the same halachic roof as a mace. Those people or utensils become tame. The Mishnah says, mashe'ein ken kulo metame, which is not so of all of the other avos hatumah that have been mentioned so far. Now, we learned just above that the mitzara too, when he's a full mitzara, not cured of his tzaras yet, he too can at least to a degree be mitame ba'ol. He said, if somebody's under the same malacha covering as a mitzara, he or a vessel under the same covering becomes tame. Yet the truth is, the mitzara's capacity to be mitame through ol is much more limited than the human corpse's capacity to be metame in that way. For example, if somebody is sitting under a tree, and the mitzara just walks by, for a moment there he was under the same canopy, the treetop, as this other tahar person, the tahar person does not become tame. If the mitzara sits down there with him, that's different, then he would become tame. Also, in order for a mitzara to make, you know, everything in the house tame, he has to make a complete entrance. If only a part of himself enters, there would not be tumah transmission, which is not the case when it comes to a mace. Even if just a part of a tahor person entered a house that has a mace in it, he would become tame. In addition, the law of tumas oel is much more expansive when it comes to a mace, in that it doesn't only include the classic case where you have people or utensils under the same roof as the mace, but also if the person or utensil became an ohel over the mace. If you went above that mace, it would become tame, and also if the mace itself formed an ohel, was, you know, placed above a personal utensil, then that personal utensil would become tame. So clearly this notion of tumas ohel, as it applies to a mace, is much more expansive than when we discussed the possibility of tumas ohel in the context of a mitzara. So indeed, chamur mikulam is hames. The most potent source of tumah of them all is a mace, a human corpse.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.